Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Bet, three lines from the bottom. Gemara over here has been discussing Hakafat Kol HaRosh, Shema Hakafa or Lo Shema Hakafa. When someone shaves off their entire head, are they in violation of the Yisur of Lo Takifu et Pat Roshchem? So Gemara wants to suggest over here that that issue is actually a Machloket Tanaim. The Tan Rabbanan, the Gemara here is going to bring two Braito. These Braito actually appeared earlier in the Gemara on Daf Mem Mem Aleph, and the sugyo that is contained over there. Our sugyo over here actually gives you a partial picture, and that's why it's somewhat difficult to get the total picture from this sugyo, but it has to be done in context and in combination with the Gemara back on Mem Mem Aleph and with the Gemara in Yevamot as well. The Gemara quotes the Braita, which in the sugyo back on Mem Mem Aleph is the Braita of the Rabbonon, the Shita of the Rabbanan, the Tan Rabbanan, Rosho. The word Rosho that is found by Mitzora, which is extraneous, because there it says, B'gilach ko se'aro, that you remove all of his hair. And then it mentions, again, Rosho, Zekano, mentions these items which should have been captured by the original statement of ko se'aro. So what does the extra word Rosho come to teach you? Ma'atam adomar, lefish ne'mar lo takifu ba'at roshchem. Because there's an isur to cut off the corners of one's head. Yachol af Mitzora kein. You would think that a Mitzora is subject to that ruling as well. Tamadoma Rosho. The word Rosho comes to teach you that despite the fact that there is an Isser of Lotokifu and Pat Roshchem, nevertheless, the din of Mitzora to cut their head and to shave their hair when they complete the process of the Tzarat gives them the right to override the Isser of Lotokifu and Pat Roshchem. But Tani Idoch, and we have an alternate Braita, which in the Gemara back of Menalef was brought in the shame of Rabbi Eliezer. Rosho, ma Talmud lomar. By the Rosho, what is it coming to teach you? The fish nemar gabi nazir, tar, lo yavor al Rosho. There's a restriction by a nazir that one may not cut their head. Yachol af nazir mitzora kein. You would think if a person was both a nazir and had tzarat at that time, that when he came to be mitar himself from the tzarat, he'd be restricted from cutting his hair because of the iser of tar, lo yavor al Rosho. Talmud lomar, Rosho. Rosho comes to teach you that that isn't necessarily the case. My love, Tanaihi. Let us suggest that these two braitot, the machloka between them really revolves around this issue of Hakafat Kol HaRosh. The mandamar, the one who says, mi nazir, that we learned it out from nazir, kasavar Hakafat Kol HaRosh, lo shma hakafa, that if one cuts off their entire head, there is no problem. So as far as the problem of lo takifu et pat roshchem from mitzora, that doesn't exist. So the only problem that you have here is if you have him be a nazir as well, and then you run into the problem of tar lo yavora rosho. B'chiyat akra, the mitchet lo tasei vasei. And that's what the pasuk here is coming to teach you, to override the asei and lo tasei of the nazir. The nazir involves both an asei of kadoshiye gadol pere, as well as a lo tasei of lo takipu et patroshchem. So you would think that the rosho here comes to teach you that the asei of mitzora has the power, the ability to override the Asay and Lotasay of Nazir. What about the Isur of Lotakifu et Pat Roshchem? That's not relevant because Hakavat Kol HaRosh, Lo Shma Hakafa, when you cut off the entirety of the hair of your head, there's no violation of Lotakifu et Pat Roshchem. Vidach Savar, and the other Braita believes, Hakavat Kol HaRosh, Shma Hakafa, that cutting off all the hair is considered to be Hakafa. V'chiyat HaKra, the Midchei Lav Gredo. And therefore what the pasuk here is coming to tell you is that it's coming to eliminate the lav of Lo Takifu et Pat Roshchem. That's why he uses it by the mitzora to tell you that by mitzora you're allowed to override the iser of Lo Takifu et Pat Roshchem. So the Gemara here is suggesting that their machloket revolves around their understanding of Hakafat Kol HaRosh, whether it is called Hakafa or not. If there is an issue of Hakafa, then you need the word Rosho by mitzora to allow you, as a mitzora going through the process of tara, where you're cutting off all your hair, to override that isur of lo takifu et pat roshchem. Therefore, now the word rosho is coming to tell you that asay is dochet lo tasay in this instance. On the other hand, if you believe that hakafa de rosh, lo shma hakafa, then you don't need the rosho to teach you that when you come to be mitahair yourself as a mitzora, that you need any dispensation to override Lo Takifu et Pat Roshchem, because you're not in violation of that. And therefore, it comes to teach you another instance where you're also a Nazir at the time of being a Mitzora, and because of that, you need then to override the Isurim of Nazir, which are both an Aseh and a Lo Taseh, the Aseh of Kadosh Yeh Gadol Pere, And the lota say, of tar lo yavara rosho. And that's what the word rosho here comes to teach you, that the asay of mitzora overrides the asay and lota say of nazir. Now the Gemara rejects that and says, Amarava, no, the kuliyama, akafa kolarosh, losh mahakafa. Now as Tosafot points out here, and he points out a number of times through the sugya, the Gemara goes through a seed change over here, where until this point it believed that we needed a pasuk to teach us that hakafat kolarosh shma hakafa, that you would need a pasuk to indicate to you that there was such a concept that cutting off all the hair is a violation of tekipat prat roshchem. That is true in the sugya back on Mem and Mem Aleph. It's also true in the sugya in Yevamot. But at this point, this sugya here differs from those two sugyot, and now believes that misvara. Logically, one would know that kafat kol harosh is shma hakafa or lo shma hakafa. The Gemara will eventually get to the point that it is shma hakafa, but the Gemara now leaves behind the necessity for a pasuk to teach you that information. So Amar Rava, dekuli ama kafat kol harosh lo shma hakafa. Everybody agrees that cutting off the entirety of the head is not a violation of lo tekifat pat roshchem. V'chiyat akra. So then, what's the point of the pasuk here? Kagom shekif olasof gileach. It's the case where he first cut off the corners of his head, and then cut the remainder of his head. Because in an instance where, had he cut off all of his hair in one shot, he would not be chayav. To teach you that, in the instance where then you cut the peyot arosh, and then the remainder of the head, you will not be chayav. So what Rava is suggesting here, is that in a case where you cut the entirety of the head, and then the peyot, everybody would agree that you're not in violation of lo tekifat pat roshchem. The only question arises when you do it in the reverse, where you first cut off the peyot, and then only afterwards cut off the remainder of the head. There, seemingly, you would be chayav, because when you cut the peyot, the remainder of the hair was there, and you should be chayav. So the word rosho over here comes to teach you that even in that manner, you're allowed to cut the head of the mitzora. And that's the chiddush that is being taught over here. The Gemara says, umi katav krohachi. Is this what the pasuk really means? You can think of that in one of two ways. Either, here you're dealing with someone who's acting bi'isur when they had the chance to do it beheter, which is that they could have cut all the hair off first and then the peyot arosh. Instead, they started with the peyot arosh. So they basically entered themselves into a world of isur. And is that what a pasuk deals with? The pasuk is dealing with people who are doing this in a manner that creates an isur. Or the question can really be, umi katav krahochi, does the Torah really go out of its way to have you violate an isur because of this dispensation when you have an alternative where you don't have to violate the isur? And that's premised on what the Gemara says now, v'amar Reish Lakish, kol makom shata motzei aseh v'lo taseh. In any instance where you have a positive commandment and a negative commandment, im ata yachol lekayem shnehem mutav, if you have the ability to accomplish both of them without one overriding the other, then great. Vim lav yavo aseh v'dechei lo taseh. But if that's impossible, then the asay is docha lo taseh. And that means in this instance where there is a possibility of accomplishing the asay and not violating the lo taseh, and that is by cutting the rest of the hair first and then only afterwards the peyot, why would we grant you a dispensation of the asay docha lo taseh to cut the peyot first and then the remainder of the head through the word roshon? Ella, the conclusion is, the kuliyama kavat kol rosh shma hakafa. Everybody agrees that when you cut off all your hair, that is a violation of lo takifu et pe'at roshchem. And again, over here, our sugya believes that that's misvara. You don't need a pasuk to teach you that. That is just a logical stance that the Gemara says, that if you cut off your hair and all the hair, there's still a violation of peyot arosh, meaning that the peyot arosh are not telling you that you have to actually have corners vis-a-vis the remainder of the hair, but rather that's the location of the hair that you may not remove, irrespective of whether you have hair on the remainder of your head. So now, uman demukim lekra demidche lo taseh v'aseh. The one who set up the pasuk to override the lo taseh and the aseh, that is the one who thought that the pasuk by Rosho was speaking about a nazir mitzora, who we attribute to Rabbi Eliezer in the Gemara back on Mem and Mem Aleph, lav greda minole. Where does he know a simple lav from? So now the Refereish says that this question derives from the fact that one is, first of all, the fact that he says that it's dochen aseh and lo taseh already indicates that the ability for the asay to override the lotus of hakafa, he must know from somewhere else. That's number one. Number two is, you can't extrapolate from the fact that he says an asay is dochen, asay and a lotus asay over here, to tell you in other places in Shas that an asay is docha lo tasay, because there's unique aspect to Nazir. And because there's a unique aspect to Nazir, which is that fact that it is Yeshno B'Sheila, you have the ability to undermine it or to change it midway, that weakens the assay or changes the dynamic of the assay. And maybe because of that, the assay of Mitzorah can come and override the assay and Lot assay of Nazir. But that doesn't tell you or give you information about any other lav. And that's what the Gemara wants to know here, that the lav Greda, where does he know that in a simple case of an assay docha lota say that that is the case? Tosafot, on the other hand, says that it must be that he has a source for assay docha lota say from somewhere else, because the Rosh says over here, there's no way that somebody would send up for the pasuk to be docha and assay and lota say when he doesn't even have a basic pasuk to say assay docha lota say. And so therefore it must be that he has another source for asay doche lo tasay. And this, in the Gemara back on Mem Aleph, in the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara asks, where's his source for asay doche lo tasay? And here the Gemara answers that he knows from tzitzit and kilayim, the aleph migdilim. He learns it out of tzitzit. Damarkra lotu bashatnez. The pasuk says, you may not wear kilayim, betanya lotu bashatnez. Even though you may not wear shanes, you are allowed to make tzitzit out of shanes. And the reason that you would make tzitzit out of shanes is for one of two reasons. Either that's because semer and pishtim are permitted to be used on any beged, and that means that you could even use semer on a pishtim beged, or a pishtim on a semer beged, and therefore you would enter into a world of kilayim. Or, because even on a pishtim beged, if we were to use pishtim tzitzit, nevertheless, you would still have to use tzemer because the ptil techelet, the blue string that goes on the tzitzit, is made out of tzemer, and therefore, by definition, you would have to have, in the tzitzit themselves, you would have to have kilayim, because you would have to use pishtan and tzemer in order to generate the tzitzit. So because of that, we see here that the right to accomplish the mitzvah of tzitzit, despite the fact that there's an Isur of Kilayim, shows you that the assay of Tzitzit overrides the Lot assay of Kilayim. That comes from the juxtaposition of these two halachot, that of not wearing shatneis, semer pishtim yachdav, to that of gedilim tasedacha, that making of Tzitzit, which shows you that the making of Tzitzit overrides the Isur of shatneis. Uman, denafkelemi will show. According to the Chachamim, who learn out of the word will show that an assay is docha, simple lota say, which is, the assay of Mitzorah overrides the Isur of lota kifu v'at roshchem, my time alone afkale migdilim. Why don't they learn it from gedilim tasel lecha? Amr lecha the kederava. Because they suggest, amr lecha the kederava da'ata. They suggest that it will be for what Rava says. The Rava Rami. Rava says it's a stira within the mitzvah of tzitzit. K'tiv v'natnu al tzitzit hakenaf. It says that you put the tzitzit on the corner, and he darshins hakanaf min naknaf. But when it says on the corner, hakanaf makes it sound like that it has to be that the tzitzit are the same material as the corner itself. Ptil techelet. And that's where you put the ptil techelet, v'chtiv. And it says, semru pishtim yachtav. And it says by the parsha, by tzitzit of gedilim tasedecha, which is juxtaposed to the isur of kilayim of semru pishtim yachtav, over there, it says that you need to use Tzemer Pishtim. Haketzat. How do we reconcile between these? Tzemer Pishtim Potrim Ben Beminam Ben Shalom Beminam. Tzemer Pishtim can be used as Tzitzit and they function as Tzitzit both in situations where the Beged itself is made out of Tzemer Pishtim, but also of other materials. In Tzemer Pishtim are super materials in that sense that if you make Tzitzit out of them, you can put them on any Beged. Sharminim, with regards to other materials, only if you use the same material as the beged will it work. So if you have cotton strings, they only accomplish the mitzvah tzitzit if they're placed on a cotton beged. If you have silk tzitzit, they only work on a silk beged. But if you put cotton on silk or silk on cotton, it won't work. On the other hand, if you put wool, you put it on a cotton beged, you put it on a silk beged, you put it on a tzemer beged, it works in all those instances. So we would have thought that the pasuk of kilayim, juxtaposed to tzitzit, doesn't come to teach you about asay docha lo tasay, but rather about the fact that Rova's stira here which teaches you the manner by which you can accomplish the mitzvah of tzitzit. And therefore, we would not necessarily have known that I say lo taseh. Now, Tosafot, back in the Sugya Memem Aleph, suggests that in the end, the Chachamim tend to agree, and that you could learn out to say doch lo taseh from the mitzvah of tzitzit. And the fact that Rava has this drush over here is only a havamina until we know the fact that there is a concept of asei docha lo taseh. Once we've proven that there is a concept of asei docha lo taseh, then even the chachamim can agree that the tzitzit can be the source for asei docha lo taseh. V'hai ta'ana, the mebik the road show the lav gredo, the ta'ana that says that the asei docha lo taseh, we learn out from the fact that the word roshol tells you that by mitzora it overrides the isur of nazir. That the asay v'dachet lo taseh v'asay minolon. How does he know the fact that an asay can be docha an asay and a lo taseh? The Neil Tosafot asks on there. V'ein l'tmo amai pshita le'ashas v'dachi. How does the Gemara know that he believes that that's the case? How does the Gemara know that you should say that an asay is docha an asay v'lo taseh? And truthfully, throughout Shas, we believe that that's not the case. That an asay cannot be docha an asay and a lo taseh. So why is the Gemara here so certain that even those that learn out asei docha lo taseh from the word rosho must have a source for the fact that asei is docha and asei and lo taseh? And he says, because, as Tosafot says, if he were not to darshan that asei is docha lo taseh v'asei over here, then he would not have a source for the fact that asei is docha lo taseh throughout Shas. And that's because we're going to see again in the Gemara in a couple minutes that both Nazir and Kohen, which are the sources for these assays being docha and assay and lotasay, have a certain weakness that is associated with them. And that weakness is that they're eno shave bakol. They're not applicable to everyone. That's by dinim of Kohen. But Nazir shekin yesh no b'sheila. It has the ability to undermine the Nazirut through hatarat and nidarim. And since they have that weakness, that's what allows us to darshan assay docha, lotasei and asei in these instances, because they are a weaker form of alava, what we call enu shaveh bakol. But if that's the case, they would not be able to extend the limud of rosho, which teaches that a metzora overrides the din of lotakifa et pat roshchem, because that's a din that is not equally applicable across the board. It applies to men, doesn't apply to women, like we saw in yesterday's daf. If that's the case, how can he extrapolate from that to the rest of the Torah? So what Tosafot says is they have to find another source that says that by enu shaveh bakol, we learn out that asei is docha, asei velo taseh. And therefore, I won't need this pasuk of rosho to teach me asei docha lo taseh by enu shaveh bakol. And then I can say, enu inyan lekan, seo le inyan makom acher. If I don't need it for enu shaveh bakol, now I can use it to teach me that asei is docha lo taseh b'chol haTorah kula. And for that reason, it's clear to the Gemara, the Rabbanon who believe the Rosho is coming to teach you that the Asei Mitzor overrides Lo Takifo et Pat Roshchem, they need to also have a source within the Psukim to teach you that Asei is Docha and Asei Velo Taseh but Enu Shaveh Lekol, because then I have two Limudim by Enu Shaveh Lekol, and I don't need two Limudim by Enu Shaveh Lekol, and since I don't need two Limudim by Enu Shaveh Lekol, then I can now extend, I can take one of them and use them for Shaveh Lekol to teach me that in general an Asei is Docha Lo Taseh. And that's why they won't need the pasuk of Gedilim Tasedecha. As I mentioned earlier, now at this point in the Gemara believes that all the Enu Shaveh Bakols, all mitzvot that are not equal to all people, are on the same plane. And therefore we can compare them, or we can say if we don't need it for here, we can use it for there. Later on, the Gemara will slowly take that apart and say that that's not the case. But until we get to the end of the Sugya, most of the Sugya, as the Tosafot says, that Shkulim Heim, that the Gemara here considers them to be equal, and because it considers them to be equal, it's able to learn from one to the other. And the way that the Rosh phrases it is, now that we know by the lav of HaKafah that an asay is docha and a lo taseh, that tells us that the concept exists, and that tells us that by Gedilim Tasalecha, don't darshan it like Rova necessarily to say that there is no asay docha lo taseh, but rather say that by, also by tzitzit, there is a mitzvah of asei docha lo taseh, and then we can extrapolate from there. That's similar to the conclusion of Tosafot back on Mem Aleph, that even according to this shita, they also use gedilim taseh lecha in the end to get asei docha lo taseh. They just need the asei docha lo taseh by mitzora and hakafah to teach you that the concept exists, and that it's something that is a proper type of limud by gedilim taseh lecha. Now the Gemara says, according to that individual, where does he know that from? He learns it out of the extraneous word of zikano that is found by Mitzorah, the Tanya. Zikano, matal malomar. What does that extra word of zikano teach you? The fish in Marupat zikanam lo yigalechu. There's a restriction against cutting one's beard. Yachalaf koin mitzora kain. I would think that a koin mitzora also would be subject to that rule and say that he can't cut his beard. Tamalomar zikano. The word zikano comes to teach you that the mitzora or the tarata mitzora overrides those yisurim, which is the isur to cut one's zakan. And here it involves two problems. It involves the lo taseh of pekat zakanam lo yigalechu, and also involves the assay of kedoshim to you of the kohanim, despite the fact that you're in violation of an assay and a lo taseh. Nevertheless, we say that you can go ahead and do the tarat mitzvah and override it. Uman demapiklei the rosho laseh velo taseh. And according to the one who says that the rosho, Rabbi Elazar, who says that rosho comes to teach you that it overrides an assay lo taseh, leilif mizkano. Why does he learn like the chachamim from the word zkano? So Umar says, l'tamech, the kaimelan ba'alma, don't we hold in general the lo ateh et lo taseh vaseh? And generally, throughout Shas, we say that when you have a positive commandment, it cannot override both a positive commandment and a negative commandment. Leilif mikoein, the dachi. Why don't you learn it out from a koein mitzvah over here, that we have a precedent for that, and now you should be able to extrapolate it to kola toru kula. Ela mikoein lo yafina. You can't learn out of koein. Ma the koein shekein lav sheinu shaveh bekol. Because koein is something that is not equal to all people, and that is on two levels. One is that it only applies to koanim, not to Israelim. But also, even within Kohanim, it only applies to Bnei Aaron and not to Benot Aaron. Therefore, you can't extrapolate from that to other cases throughout Shas. But if that's the case, Nazir mi Kohen ami lo yolif. If that's the case, you can't learn a Nazir out from the Kohen as well. Shekein lav, sheinu shaveh bakol. And so therefore, you would not be able to extrapolate from Kohen to the case of Nazir, and that's why you need the word Rosho. You would not be able to learn it out of the word Zikano. Gemara says, Laman demukim le. According to the one who says that the drasha from Rosho is in the case of a Nazir Mitzora, then what does he do with the word Zekano? The Tosfot points out over here that, first of all, it seems unnecessary for the Gemara to say, according to that person, because we're speaking about that person right now. We were just discussing that the man demapik le the Rosho, the Sevelota, say le the Zekano. Why does he learn it out of Zekano? So we're talking about the same drasha. And we just spoke about the person who uses Rosho for an Asay and Lotasay. And now we're saying, oh, according to that person who says that we use it for the Asay and Lotasay, this. So it seems to be that the Gemara is starting with a header again, even though we're talking about the same individual. Number two is, Tosfot points out, why did it change its language? Before it called it, the Drusha is the one who says Rosho for an Asay and a Lotasay. And over here, it says that Rosho is being used for Nazir, which means Asay Lotasay, but why did it change its language? I want to suggest that possibly the Gemara here is shifting gears a little bit, because now the Gemara is really leaving the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, who we've been really explaining until now in this case, because he believes that you're only in violation of Tar L'Yovor Al Rosho with a Tar. Now we begin to talk in the position of the Chachamim and Rabbi Yonatan back on Mem Mem Aleph, where they believe that a Nazir is not limited to a Tar, that you can be in violation of Tar lo yavor al rosho with any material. And therefore I need a limud by Mitzora to tell me that it is limited to a Tar. And therefore actually the Gemara is shifting gears here, because now it's using the word Rosho and Mitzora. The limudim that they have here match up with the position of the Chachamim back on Mem Mem Aleph rather than that position of Rabbi Lezer. And that might be why the Gemara is transitioning here. The Gemara says, "Mind the mukim the high rosho benazir lamali zikano." What does he need zikano for? Mibayle the katanya. He needs it for the bright zikano matamadomar. Why does it say zikano? The fish nemarupat zikanam lo igalechu. Says you may not cut off your beards. Yochalaf koin mitzora kein. You would think that be true of a koin mitzora tamadomar zikano. Uminalan bitar. How do you know it has to be done with a razor? The tanya upat zikanam lo igalechu. Yochalaf gilchu bimisparayim. You would think that if you use scissors, then you'd be in violation. Has to be done something that does hashchata. And the only thing that defined as hashchata is something that pulls the hair out very close to the skin, not something that cuts with two blades. As we've explained before, there's a key element or key difference between that of a scissor and that of a razor or other items that pull the hair out. Where a scissor uses a stationary blade and another blade to cut on top of it, by definition, the lower braid is the counter pressure for the cutting mechanism. On the other hand, when you use a razor, the razor uses the skin itself as the counter pressure to cut over here. Therefore, hashchata is only created through that process of using a razor or other items that take the hair out at the root level, not with something that uses a blade as the counter pressure for it. Where it says, ilo tashchit, but if you said that it's only, it has to be lo tashchit, yachol ikdan ben laket virihidni chayav, if you take it out with a tweezer or some sort of plane that took it off, maybe you'd be chayav in that case. Tamalomer, atzganam lo yigalechu. Is a giluach, sheish bo hashchata, you need both giluach, the shaving, but shaving that creates hashchata, remain zetar, that can only be accomplished through a razor, which has both properties. It's something that's used for shaving, and it's also hashchata, it does it in a manner that is mashchit. So now, based on that, we know that you have to use a tar in order to be in violation of Bagat Sugam Lo Yigalechu. And therefore, if you need a dispensation by Mitzora to say that you can use whatever methodology you want to remove the hair over here, well, the only one that would be in conflict with Bagat Sugam Lo Yigalechu is if you use the tar, if you use the razor. And therefore, here, that teaches us that by Mitzora, you must be using a tar, otherwise this whole question wouldn't get off the ground. Why would you need then a special pasuk to teach you that by mitzvah, tarata mitzvah, you're allowed to cut this kan, you're allowed to cut the beard if you didn't have to use it? You could do it with scissors and you wouldn't be in violation. The fact that you would be in violation shows you that you must be using a tar by mitzvah. But the fact that we're learning out that ta'ar is the violation of patz ganam lo yigalechu, that limud is the limud of the Rabbanon back on Daf Mem Mem Aleph, but Rabbi Lezer's limud is actually from the connection to Nazir. That tells you just like by Nazir we need a dispensation to override. That shows you that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you must be using a tar by the Nazir. Otherwise there'd be no conflict between the Nazir and tar lo yavor al roshon. That the violation by the Nazir wouldn't be relevant if you didn't have to use a tar. And that's the limit of Rabbi Eliezer. And that's why I suggest over here that maybe what Tosafot is questioning about the transition of the Gemara might have to do with the fact that the Gemara is actually moving from the Limudim that until now focused on the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, now over to the Shita of the Rabbanan. Again, this Gemara seems almost like a summary. It assumes that you knew what was going on in the Gemara Mem Mem Aleph and in Yevamot, and it's only giving you pieces of the puzzle that need to be brought together, and we have a chart that does that, brings it all together into a sikum of what all the positions are over here. Now the Gemara says, Uman de Mapik Le, the high Rosho de Lav Gredo. According to the one who says that the word Rosho over here is only come to teach you that a Mitzora overrides a Nazir, Lama le Michtav Rosho, Velama le Michtav Zikano. Why do you have to tell me both the din of Rosho and the din of Zikano? Mashka le Mitche Lav Gredo, or Mashka le Mitche Lo Tasei Vasei. The word itself seems to indicate that you could violate a Lav with the Asei, and it also seems to indicate that you can use the Asei to override an Asei and a Lo Tasei. Hilkach Shakuhu. In that case, it's all equal. Ve'avo Shnehem. And then you should be able to learn out both of them. So now, the way that the Mefarish explains it over here is, Lichtov Rachman Rosho. Let the Torah just write the word Rosho, but too low, and we don't need anything more. Tavi Mashma. Demidche Lav Greido Ka'ati. It would teach you that your Doche, Asei Doche Lo Tasei, Lav De Lo Takifu. Because it allows you by the Mitzvah to override Lo Takifu. Umashma Namad Midishrei Gabe Nazir. And you could also learn a Nazir to high crush a Kulhu. To Lo Mistai Mehechi Koi. That pasuk doesn't tell you who the person is. When it's telling you that by the Mitzora you have to cut his hair, it could be a regular person, and then you're only violating the Isur, the Lava, Lo Tokipu et Pat Roshchem. Or it could be a person who is also a Nazir. In that case, you'd be taking an Asei and overriding an Asei and a Lo Tasei. And since there's no definition to which type of Mitzora we hear, that means that you could learn out both things from the word Rosho. And if that's the case, what do I need Zikano for at all? I can actually get all the information out of the word Rosho. And for that reason, that's what it says over here, Ve'yavol Shnehem. We should learn out both Asei, Doche, Lo Tasei, as well as Asei, Doche, Asei, Ve'lo Tasei, from the Pasuk of Rosho. What do I need Zikano for at all? And the Gemara will have the question. On the other hand, Tosafot learns the other way around. And Tosafot says over here that I should be able to write, Livtov Zikano Levat. Let the Torah just write the word Zikano, Demashme Ben Zikano de Kohen, Ben Zikano de Yisrael, because over there it sounds like it's the beard of the Kohen or the beard of Yisrael. That either if you override a lotase, a regular lotase, which is Israel, or you're overriding a lotase ben asei, which is a kohen, because over there a kohen has the asei of kedoshim to you as well. And therefore the word zkano should be able to teach me both of these items. Because of Mikra Malei Dibera Ketuv. When the Pasuk spoke, it doesn't define who it's speaking about. It must be talking about everybody. Now, even though by the word Rosho, you could have said the same thing, Tosfot over here rejects that logic and says, by Rosho, you wouldn't be able to do that. Koshani Hotam Deshnei Lavim Hein Lav Da Kafa V'Dalav De Nazir. By the case of Rosho, you would not be able to say that it doesn't matter because you actually have different levels over here. You have the possibility of him being a regular individual, and therefore he's only in violation of Lo Tekifa Pat Rosh Chem. Then if you add on Nazir on top of that, not only are you saying an Aseh is Doka, an Aseh and a Lo Taseh, you're also now saying that an Aseh is Doka and a Lo Taseh, and an Aseh and another Lo Taseh, because you have Tar Lo Yavor Al Rosho, you have Lo Tekifa Pat Rosh Chem, and you have Kadosh Iya Gadol Peret. And therefore, Tosfot says, by Rosho, you wouldn't necessarily be able to do that and say that it applies to both, Aseh Docha Lo Taseh V'Aseh, and Aseh Docha Lo Taseh. Now, this goes against what Tosfot says back on Daf Mem Mem Aleph, where he says the word Rosho, Mikrei Malei Dibera Ketuv, and you could include anything from that. Over here, Tosfot wants to differentiate and say you couldn't learn it out of the word Rosho, but everything should be learned out of the word Zikano. And then you'll be able to learn both of them out from here, both the Kohen and the Nazir, all those issues we should be able to learn out from here. The Gemara says, you can't do that, because Kohen mi Nazir lo yalif, you can't learn a Kohen from Nazir, shekin yishno b'she'ila. Nazir has a kula, which is that it is subject to the ability to unwind it by hetarat nidirim. Nazir mi Kohen lo yalif, you can't learn a Nazir from a Kohen, shekin lav she'ino sheveh b'kol. Kohen is not a love that is equal for everyone, and therefore you can't extrapolate not from that to Nazir, even though Nazir is not applicable to everyone, but anyone who so chooses can enter into the world of Nazir, and therefore it is a love of Shaveh Bakol. Ube'ama lo yofmino minayu, and you can't learn out from both of them to other places in the Torah, shavdik lemichvach kedaman, because they are both have kulot associated with them, and those kulot therefore prevent us from extrapolating from them to anywhere else in the Torah. Tosafot would ask over here, why don't you say it, tzad shaveh shebehen? That the common denominator between them is that they have an aseh docha lo taseh v'aseh, and each one of their kulot are different. The kula of Kohen is she'eino shaveh b'kol, and the kula of Nazir is she'eino shaveh b'she'ila, and they should wipe each other out. The common denominator should mean that it should override, an aseh should override an aseh and a lo taseh. You should be able to extrapolate it to the rest of the Torah. Tosfot over here enters another dimension, which is that Mitzora has the added factor of shalom bayit, which is that the Tarata Mitzora has this super side to it, which is that it allows the husband to return to his wife, and therefore there's a din of shalom bayit by Mitzora, and it may be that the assay of Mitzora is so powerful that that's what's causing it to override in these instances, and because of that, we will not be able to extrapolate on a tzadah shaveh to other places in the Torah, because Mitzora also has a tzad chumrah to it that might be causing or allowing this to happen here, that we are overriding these assays and lo tassays. And then Tosfot says here, Lefi maskana zu, Tana demuki rosho lalav greido. The Tana who says that the word rosho teaches you just the lotasei, meaning that it allows the mitzora to override the isur of lotakifo epat roshchem, who adinash mina mina lav yasei. In the end, he also learns out that in asein a lotasei. That means that whether you learn it out of the word, in the end, everybody learns out of the word rosho, asei is docha lotasei vasei. So then, maishis kir lav da kafa greido. So then why did he just mention that it's overriding a lav? He should tell us both pieces of information. The galolanu dato. He's coming to teach us the savar, the lav hani krai, the rosho v'skano. Had we not had the psukim of rosho v'skano, afil lav greida lo havi yadina she aseh docholto. Then we wouldn't even know that an aseh docholot aseh period throughout Shas, the kardik dilim, because we would have used the pasuk bidilim, like the rova, like we suggested before, like rova. And this is what I said to you here. Tosfot concludes that even according to that shita, but doesn't learn out of Gedilim Tasedacha, in the end he does learn out of Gedilim Tasedacha, but he does it in a somewhat circumspect way, which is that he says that because we learn of Aseh Docha Lo Taseh by Rosho and by Zekano, and they're Enu Shaveh Bakol, that allows us then to say that, well, we have two things teaching us the same thing, to teach us that there is this concept of an Aseh Docha Lo Taseh, and there's a concept of an Aseh Docha Lo Taseh Vaseh. That comes to teach us that this concept exists, and therefore the right interpretation of Gedilim Tasedacha is that Aseh is Docha Lo Taseh, and not make the assumption that we are interpreting it like Rava says, that it's dealing with the type of tzitzit that you're putting on the begin. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Nun Chet Amud Bet.